This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. And joining me today is
Christine Wong.
Hello, Christine Wong.
Hi.
Okay. So today we're talking about the supply chain disruption. And this has come out from an Edge report. And that question to you, though, is have your parcels or deliveries been delayed by the global supply chain disruption? So let us know via Twitter. And that's at BFM Radio. Is there something wrong with Instagram, Christine?
There's something been happening with Instagram, and right. So we don't have anything on Instagram right now, but do take a look at WhatsApp and Twitter to get in touch with us.
Yes, of course. And WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. So yes, Malaysia has not been spared by the COVID-19 pandemic's impact on supply chain worldwide, with Bloomberg reporting that the global supply chain disruptions were expected to last until at least next year. So how does this affect the average consumer? Computer chips, exercise equipment, breakfast cereal. By now, you've probably heard the world has run short of a great many products. So in an era which we've become accustomed to clicking and waiting for whatever we desire to arrive at our doors, usually we like it within the hour, we've experienced the shock of not being able to buy toilet paper. This is true, very true this week for me, having to wait months for curtains and needing to compromise on the colour of our new cars. A far greater importance, we've suffered a pandemic without adequate protective gear. Doctors cannot obtain needed medicines. Airplanes are delayed while crews wait for food deliveries.
Right. So why exactly is this happening? Now, the pandemic has disrupted nearly every aspect of the global supply chain. That's the usually invisible pathway of manufacturing, transportation, and logistics that gets goods from where they're manufactured, mined, or grown to where they are going. At the end of the chain is another company or consumer who's paid for the finished product, and scarcity has caused the prices of many things to go higher as well. Now, when did this start? The disruptions go back to early last year, to the beginning stages of the pandemic. Factories in parts of the world where a lot of the globe's manufacturing capacity sits, places like China, South Korea, and Taiwan, as well as Southeast Asian nations like Vietnam and European industrial giants like Germany, were hit hard by the spread of coronavirus cases. Many factories shut down or were forced to reduce production because workers were sick or in lockdown. And in response, shipping companies cut their schedules in anticipation of a drop in demand for moving goods around the world. Now, that proved to be a terrible mistake. A demand for some things indeed cratered, but people took the money they used to spend on, you know, experiences and redirected it to goods for their homes, which now doubled, of course, as offices and classrooms. So, you know, you put office chairs and printers in your bedrooms, you add gym equipment, you add video game consoles, you know, you've got home projects, you've got mixers and blenders for your kitchens, as parents became basically short order cooks for cooped up children, right? So the timing and the quantity of consumer products, consumer purchases swamped the system, and factories whose production tends to be fairly predictable had to ramp up to satisfy the surge of orders.
Right, because you're spending time at home and then you're... This is what's been happening to me as well. I'm sitting there, I'm like, this needs this, this needs this.
Right.
So why couldn't factories just produce more? Many did, but this produced its own troubles. Factories generally need to bring in components to make things they export. For example, a computer assembled in China may require a chip made in Taiwan or Malaysia. A flat panel display from South Korea and dozens of other electronics drawn from around the world requiring specialized chemicals from other parts of China or Europe. The steep surge in demand clogged the system for transporting goods to the factories that needed them. At the same time, finished products, many of them made in China, piled up in warehouses and at ports throughout Asia because of a profound shortage of shipping containers, the standard size steel boxes that carry goods on enormous vessels. So what happened to all the giant container ships? I love how the ripple, the domino effect, right? In simplest terms, they got stuck in the wrong places. In the first phase of the pandemic is China shipped huge volumes of protective gear like masks and hospital gowns all over the world. Containers were unloaded in places that generally do not send much product back to China, regions like West Africa and South Asia. In those places, empty containers pile up just as Chinese factories were producing a mighty surge of other goods destined for wealthy markets in North America and Europe. Now, because containers were scarce and demand for shipping intense, the cost of moving cargo skyrocketed. And the before the pandemic, sending a container from Shanghai to LA cost perhaps $2,000. By early 2021, the same journey was fetching as much as $25,000, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking a lot of folds. And many containers were getting bumped off ships and forced to wait, adding to delays throughout supply chain. Even huge companies like Target and Home Depot had to wait for weeks and even months to get their finished factory wares onto ships.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, at ports in North America and Europe where containers were arriving, the heavy influx of ships overwhelmed the availability of docks, and you know, dozens of ships were forced to anchor out in the ocean for days before they could load and unload. At the same time, truck drivers, dock workers were all stuck in quarantine. That, of course, reduced the availability of people to unload goods and further slowed the process. And naturally, the situation was worsened by the shutdown of the Suez Canal after a giant container ship got stuck there, right? And then by the closings of major ports in China in response to new COVID-19 cases as well. And then many companies responded to these initial shortages by ordering extra items, which added to the strain on the ports and filling up warehouses. With warehouses full, containers, which suddenly served as storage areas, piled up at ports, and the result was the mother of all traffic jams. Now, if you're wondering what exactly is in short supply, unfortunately, it's just about anything that is produced or manufactured, from chemicals, electronics, to running shoes. So shortages beget more shortages. For example, a paint manufacturer that needs 27 chemicals to make its products may be able to buy all but one, but that one may be enough to halt production.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, is this really all the pandemic's fault? I like to say yes. Well, the pandemic has certainly made supply and demand extremely volatile, shifting faster than supply chain can adjust. But that came atop of decades of very lean inventories kept by companies to limit their costs. A dollar that a car company spends to warehouse computer chips as a hedge against supply chain troubles is a dollar that it cannot use on something else, including bonuses for executives or dividends for shareholders. Monopolistic tendencies also help explain shortages. Beef is scarce and prices are high, but this is largely because the meat packers have consolidated, eliminated capacity as a way to bolster prices and profitability. These sorts of choke points exist throughout the supply chain. Now, when will the shortages end? No one really knows, but there are good reasons to suspect that this will be with us well into 2022 and maybe longer. Shortages and delays are likely to affect this year's Christmas and holiday shopping season by making much harder to find key goods. A lot of companies ordered earlier, which is exacerbating the shortages, sending more surges of goods toward ports and warehouses. So it's very interesting, Christine. I mean, of course, we're going to talk to an expert a little later on, and whether, like, I can imagine in Europe and in America where they're experiencing this, whether that is so much more, whether that's the case in this part of the world, because we're closer to, I always think of China, right, where everything comes from, we're a lot closer. We'll find out and get an expert point of view as well. And we'll look at the poll results after this. So stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bites. Good afternoon. Fria Liu together with Christine Wong. Today, we're talking about the supply chain. Our question is, have your parcels or deliveries been delayed by the global supply chain disruption? What's it saying on Twitter, Christine?
So on Twitter, we have a number of options. So a yes, delayed is at 29.2%. Yes, cancelled is at 1.5%. No, all good is at 60%. And no, I don't shop. It's supposedly online. I have no idea why Twitter decided to post it like that. But no, I don't shop online is at 9.2%.
All right. We've got a comment here from Owen, and he said, so, hello, ladies. Zero issues with deliveries, whether local, international, has been brilliant. Well, good for you, Owen.
Nice.
Now, how did all these supply chain disruptions affect us here in Malaysia? Transport Minister Dato Sri Dr. Wee Kar Siong said on his Facebook page that Malaysia had to implement several port clearing exercises last year and in 2021 to prevent congestion at ports nationwide, especially at Port Klang, Port of Tanjung Pelepas in Johor Port, and Penang Port. Turning the MCOs, which placed restrictions on vehicle movement throughout the country, it was crucial for the Transport Ministry to work with the ports and other related agencies to make sure that goods, essential and even even non-essential, were able to move and get to households and businesses. So even our efforts sometimes meant that vessels had longer than usual turnaround times to unload their holds, and containers and cargo were piling up in the container yards and warehouses. At one point, Port Klang's utilization reached about 88% of its total capacity, he said.
Mm-hmm. And he also announced that all loading and unloading activities for import and export purposes were allowed to operate 24 hours a day throughout the week, including for non-essential items, with strict compliance to the NSC's standard operating procedures. And he added that this has done much to reduce the port congestion throughout the country. And despite this, Malaysia is still holding its own in terms of efficiency rankings in port performance, as reported by Bloomberg, which quoted global investment bank RBC Capital Markets study on global port container discharge times and congestion.
So according to RBC, 77% of the world's ports experiencing abnormally long times of turnaround. However, it noted that Port Klang had the most efficient operation among 22 of the world's biggest and most prominent ports worldwide, handling an average of 131 ships weekly and taking 1.7 days to service each vessel, compared with 1.3 days in 2017 to 2019. Before the pandemic occurred. So they were more efficient during the pandemic. So, however, even with all these disruptions, Malaysia's consumer spending is projected to see a recovery in 2022, with household spending forecast to grow by a real rate of 5.1% from a contraction estimated for 2021 as COVID-19 curbs continue to weigh on domestic demand, according to Fitch Solutions.
Yes, so total consumer spending fell 5.4% to 855 billion ringgit over 2021 from 905 billion ringgit reported in 2019, the pre-COVID environment. Mm-hmm. So the research arm of Fitch Ratings said in a report, as such, the Malaysian consumer recovery from COVID-19 will only begin in 2022. We note, however, that the recovery will be rapid enough to total 915 billion in 2022, building slightly on the figure recorded pre-pandemic. And it also made a note of some of these supply chain issues and bottlenecks that resulted in consumer goods shortages feeding through to supply-side inflation.
Right. So Fitch Solutions believes the global semiconductor shortage will continue into 2022, putting the pressure on the supply of several consumer goods, noting the Delta variant spending upending factory production in Asia, disrupting shipping and posing more shocks to the world economy. Because, you know, I guess we do have a lot of foreign workers as well in these ports, right? Its global view for a notable recovery in consumer spending relies on the vaccination of a large enough portion of the population, thus translating to a drop in COVID-19 infections and death rates, which will lead to a gradual lifting of restrictions, boosting consumer confidence and retail sales. So that's what we're hoping for. You know, I've got to ask you, Chris, have you been affected by this?
So I don't shop a lot online. I feel like I've made that statement quite a lot throughout the pandemic, and I think I can count on maybe like one hand the amount of online purchases I've actually made throughout the pandemic.
Right.
Apart from food. Okay, food is a different story entirely. But
that's a lot of hands.
Yes. But my household has been affected because we do, as a household, order a lot of things online. It's just not me personally.
Right.
And we have actually received, you know, some notices from, vendors, especially on like Shopee or Lazada. And they've been like, actually, we can't get the product to you, or like the package has been delayed for, I think the latest it's been delayed for has been like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that I think, you know, now in hindsight, learning about this, I'm like, I understand what was actually going on. And it's not just like a service issue.
Right. I find that I've been ordering a lot of things from Malaysia, right? So a lot of things from Malaysia. So I will see like, oh, there's stock available or Malaysian brands.
Right.
Okay, again, other than food. So in terms of, I probably order a couple of books as well, which is not urgent in that sense. All that has been fine. Oddly enough, I've had two packages from Singapore that have not arrived.
So
it's just stuck there, and I get this notice that I have to collect something. I'm like, you know, I can't get there, back then, right? I can't, you know, it's in Port Klang or whatever, right? So I can't get there. I don't even know what's it all about. Then I find out that it's actually things from Singapore. So oddly enough, it's not from anywhere else but our closest neighbor. Anyway, we will be speaking to an expert after this, Sean Lim, who's the country general manager Malaysia for RS Components, on her thoughts. So we'll hear what she has to say after this. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes. We're asking the question, have your parcels or deliveries been delayed by the global supply chain disruption? We'll get to the poll results a little later, speaking of which you still have time to let us know how you think over WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or also take part in the poll at BFM Radio. That's on Twitter. There seem to be an issue on Instagram. And, you know, we were just talking about how the ripple effect of how the pandemic has affected the supply chain. Also because, you know, there's been a demand for things which doesn't really help as well. But we have an expert here, Sean Lim, a country general manager, Malaysia for Global Omnichannel Solutions Partner, RS Components, on the line to share her thoughts. Thanks for being with us. You know, I want to know, how has the pandemic affected the worldwide supply chain?
But the pandemic has posed significant challenge for supply chains globally. It has not necessarily created new challenge for supply chains. Rather, the pandemic has brought to light previously unseen vulnerabilities and accelerated and benefit proven that already existed in the supply chain. With the lesson learned from the pandemic, businesses are increasingly looking to shed up their supply chain strategy such that they will become more resilient and collaborative, while increasing investment in the supply chain technology like AI and robotic process automation, while training workers, embracing digitalization and innovation.
And here in Southeast Asia, what are the main issues we're seeing in the supply chain?
The fresh coronavirus outbreak in Southeast Asia has not only hurt factory activities across industry, but also threatened the regional recovery from the pandemic, having disrupted the global supply of goods across various industries such as apparel, automobiles, electronics, and maintenance. Due to the supply chains going offline and back online, there's much concern that the price will increase due to disruption of the supply of components and their final product.
Right. You know, already we can see movement towards a major global supply chain disruption. What would be the consequences of such an event for companies and consumers?
For companies, a major global supply chain disruption will affect them significantly as they become unable to produce or supply as much as they will have pre-interruption for a variety of reasons, which include worker shortage, lack of key components, raw materials, and spare parts. For consumers coming out of the pandemic, but they have been eager to spend again, especially with the festive season around the corner, the supply chain disruption have not only caused a lack of availability goods for them to purchase, but also driving up price as well as in the instance where the goods are available.
So, all right, how can companies better their supply chain resiliency then?
Company can better their supply chain resiliency through modernization of the supply chains, embracing digitalization, innovation, Industry 4.0 innovation, such as big data, inventory and capacity planning, manufacturing network diversification, engage specially near sourcing platform product or plants harmonization and ecosystem.
Right. Okay. Now, how and why should companies improve visibility with their supply chain?
In improving visibility with supply chains, companies should first identify key pain points. Companies should invest in transportation visibility platform, logistic providers, and crowd as well, while breaking down their data silos, as elimination of these silos will not only put vital data into the hands of people who need it, but also greatly reduce reliance on manual labels and potential for errors. Companies should improve visibility into their supply chains as it will translate to fewer disruption, reduce risk, increase customer satisfaction, lower costs, and effective regulated compliance, which ensure the profitability.
All right. So what trends or key areas do companies need to look out for when it comes to the supply chain in 2022?
The biggest trends for the supply chains in 2022 continues to be resilience and visibility, which towards modernization of the supply chains. Aside from the above, companies should also prioritize capacity and cost over timeless, which was the supply chains had been prioritizing a couple of years ago. Companies must also look out for the increase in the pricing, lean team and increased wages, while also increasing their focus on larger quantities and storage. A customer demand switch, sustainability within supply chains will continue to trend as well as a luckily for a company. Focusing on sustainability can have secondary benefit as well, such as decreasing costs and streamlining business operation.
Right. Final question. How can companies take sustainability into account with their supply chain approach?
Companies must first be aware of their environmental, social and economic impact. Then action must be taken to make the necessary change to reduce this impact. If this company warehouse manufacturing product, their sustainability strategy should also involve reviewing the entire manufacturing process, which includes the sustainability practice of all vendors providing raw material, the assembly of product in the plant, disposal and recycling of waste, supplier and delivery consolidation.
Right. Of course, that was Sean Erlim, Country General Manager for RS Components, sharing her thoughts. And it's going to be interesting, right, when we have to take supply chain and sustainability into consideration. And I think this is the right time, right? We can cover areas like packaging and what have you as well. You know, and I don't know, Christine, whether this is something that we'll definitely be continuing to discuss come 2022.
Yeah, most likely. I think we'll also be keeping track of hopefully the bounce back, right, after a lot of these issues have been ironed out as well.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking right now with, you know, Deepavali, Christmas, New Year, Chinese New Year around the corner, whether these things are ironed out now, right? Mm-hmm. And is that because it's going to be a mad rush for things and all that, right? And the back end stuff, right? Like we talk about components and how that all comes together, and it's not just from one place. We say it's China, but China needs the parts from other parts of the world as well. So let's look at the poll results, Christine.
All right. So the final poll results here, we've got, let's give it a quick refresh and make sure everything's up to date. Mm. So in response to have your parcels or deliveries been affected by the global supply chain disruption, no, all good is at 57.4%. Mm. Yes, delayed is at 30.9%. No, I don't shop online is at 10.3%. And yes, cancelled is at 1.5%.
Okay. So very little cancelled, which is good, right? So it's about...
But still, you know, like about 40% though of people are running into issues.
Right. They're running into issues, but 60% getting their products well, good enough. So we'll see. It would be interesting to see, you know, if we do a similar kind of a conversation come Q4. We are in Q4, sorry. You know, end of this year or early next year, what it'll be like. Yes, we've been talking about this on Enterprise Biz Bites. And of course, Christine Wong has joined me from, you know, across the borders of a couple of roads. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again for another episode of Enterprise Biz Bites tomorrow at noon. This is Frida Liu and Christine Wong signing off. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.